Greetings, and welcome to Quanta Services, Inc. second quarter 2017 earnings conference call. At this time, all participants are in a listen-only mode. A question-and-answer session will follow the formal presentation. If anyone should require operator assistance, please press star zero on your touch-tone telephone. As a reminder, this conference is being recorded. I would now like to turn the conference over to your host, Kip Rupp, Vice President, Investor Relations. Please go ahead, sir.
Great. Thank you, and welcome, everyone, to the Quanta Services conference call to review second quarter 2017 results. Before I turn the call over to management, I have the normal housekeeping details to run through. If you would like to be notified when Quanta publishes news releases and other information, please sign up for email alerts by going to the Investors and Media section of quantaservices.com. We encourage investors and others interested in our company to also follow Quanta on social media channels listed on our website. Please note that in today's call, we will present certain non-GAAP financial measures. In the Investors and Media section of our website, we have posted reconciliations of the differences between these measures and their most directly comparable GAAP financial measures. Please remember that information reported on this call speaks only as of today, August 3rd, 2017, and therefore you're advised that any time-sensitive information may no longer be accurate as of any replay of this call. This call will include forward-looking statements intended to qualify under the safe harbor from liability established by the Private Securities Litigation Reform Act of 1995. These forward-looking statements include all statements reflecting Quanta's expectations, intentions, assumptions, or beliefs about future events or performance, or that do not solely relate to historical or current facts. Forward-looking statements involve certain risks, uncertainties, and assumptions that are difficult to predict or that are beyond Quanta's control, and actual results may differ materially from those expressed or implied. For additional information concerning some of these risks, uncertainties, and assumptions, please refer to the company's 2016 annual report on Form 10-K and its other documents filed with Securities and Exchange Commission, which are available on Quanta's or the SEC's website. Management cautions that you should not place undue reliance on these forward-looking statements, and Quanta does not undertake any obligation to update any forward-looking statements and disclaims any written or oral statements made by any third party regarding the subject matter of this call. With that, I would now like to turn the call over to Mr. Duke Austin, Quanta's President and CEO. Duke?
Thanks, Kip. Good morning, everyone. Welcome to the Quanta Services second quarter 2017 earnings conference call. On the call, I will provide operational and strategic commentary before turning it over to Derek Jensen, Quanta's Chief Financial Officer, who will provide a detailed review of our second quarter results. Following Derek's comments, we welcome your questions. We remain on track to achieve our full-year guidance and multi-year outlook. We continue to execute on our core business and strategic initiatives and continue to believe that our end markets are strengthening. As a result, we believe 2018 and 2019 are firming up to be solid years for both our electric power and oil and gas segments, and that Quanta is in a renewed multi-year upcycle. While the timing of when project contracts are signed and reflected in our backlog can be challenging to predict, we have good visibility into the overall CapEx and OpEx spends of our end markets and remain in active discussions with our customers for billions of dollars of work. I will note that the timing for larger projects is currently more difficult to predict due to the lack of commissioner quorum at FERC. Despite these challenges, we believe it is not a matter of if larger projects move forward, but when. We continue to believe end market drivers remain firmly in place and that we have the opportunity to achieve record backlog levels over the next few quarters. Turning to the electric power segment, we are generally pleased with our performance during the quarter. As mentioned earlier, we continue to invest in the workforce for our electric distribution business, which created short-term margin pressure in the second quarter. But it is necessary to support future growth. Nevertheless, we are on track to achieving our margin expectations for this year and continue to believe we have the opportunity to improve operating margins to double digits as these investments pay off and our Canadian operations strengthen with the start of field construction of the Fort McMurray West Transmission Project. Our customers are actively executing on existing capital programs. Small and medium transmission projects, as well as distribution work, remain active, and we continue to have discussions with customers about the solutions we can deploy for new large multi-year capital programs. These programs include both larger and smaller electric power infrastructure projects that are designed to upgrade and modernize the grid. On prior calls, we have talked about and anticipated an increase in larger transmission project awards. Earlier this week, we announced that Quanta was selected by American Electric Power, or AEP, to provide EPC solutions for the Windcatcher Generation Tie Line project. The anticipated contract value for this project makes it the largest award in Quanta's history. The Windcatcher Tie Line consists of approximately 350 miles of a single-circuit 765 kilovolt power line and two new EPC substations in Oklahoma. We will provide turnkey EPC services for the entire project. Once completed, the line will deliver energy from the Windcatcher Wind Farm in western Oklahoma to customers in Arkansas, Louisiana, Oklahoma, and Texas. We are providing early phase project services to AEP, and subject to AEP obtaining regulatory approvals, we expect construction to begin in the later part of 2018, with the completion expected in late 2020. We have yet to determine whether the project will be included in the third quarter 2017 backlog. Quanta has built more high voltage electric transmission infrastructure in North America than any other specialty contractor. With industry leading experience constructing 765 kilovolt lines, Quanta brings significant scope, scale, and financial resources, as well as a track record of safely executing large, complex projects. We are also able to provide cost certainty to these projects, like the Windcatcher Tie Line, all of which we believe are competitive advantages. We have agreements for and continue to discuss additional large transmission project opportunities with numerous utilities and merchant transmission companies in North America. Several of these projects are making progress through the permitting and regulatory approval process, with announcements possible in the medium term. Further, our ongoing investment and training through Quanta's world-class training facility, college and trade affiliations, and other regional activities, and our commitment to meeting the long-term needs of our customers sets us apart in the marketplace. It will continue to pay dividends. We have added to that effort by helping form a nonprofit line school. Although in the early stages, we believe the school will help to develop quality line workers to supplement our growing resource needs. Our oil and gas segment had a good second quarter as we executed well on several mainline projects and other work, which resulted in solid operating income margins. Further, backlog held up well in the second quarter, especially considering segment revenues increased strongly over the same quarter last year. As a reminder, oil and gas segment backlog can vary variable due to its faster book and burn nature and the timing of larger pipeline project awards. In July, Quanta was awarded two spreads of the Canadian section of Enbridge's Line 3 replacement project. Quanta's scope of the work includes the construction and installation of approximately 168 miles of new 36-inch diameter crude oil mainline pipe, which will begin in Hardisty, Alberta, and continue into the province of Saskatchewan, Canada. Construction is expected to begin this month and is anticipated to continue through 2019. This project supports our prior commentary regarding improved expectations to book pipeline work for the second half of this year. As I commented earlier, FERC currently lacks a commissioner quorum, which is required to provide final approval for major projects, including pipelines. Due to this uncertainty, customers have been reluctant to sign project contracts. A recent Bloomberg article estimated that there is $50 billion of energy projects that are held up and waiting FERC approval. The Trump administration has nominated candidates to fill all currently vacant FERC commissioner seats, and we believe a quorum will be achieved over the coming months as commissioners proceed through the confirmation process. The majority of the pipeline projects waiting for FERC approval are planned to begin construction in 2018. Quanta remains in late-stage discussions and negotiations on multiple larger pipeline projects, and we continue to believe that 2018 and 2019 will be active years. We believe a number of them will be awarded pending their receipt of FERC approval, or perhaps earlier, and should break ground over the next 24 months. A couple of weeks ago, we announced the acquisition of Stronghold, a leading specialized services company that provides high-pressure and critical path solutions to the downstream and midstream energy markets. Stronghold is a strategic acquisition that will allow us to capture a greater portion of the industry operating and capital spends. With positive industry dynamics, visible cross-selling opportunities, and Quanta support, we believe there is a multi-year opportunity for Stronghold's operations to achieve double-digit growth. Stronghold's recurring revenues, accretive operating income margin profile, and strong free cash flow generation align well with our strategic imperatives for long-term profitable growth. Since announcing the acquisition, a number of Stronghold's customers have responded very favorably, and we have received inquiries from several customers that would like to learn more about the comprehensive solutions a combined Quanta and Stronghold can provide them. The growth of our communications infrastructure services operations continues, and our outlook remains positive. Our U.S. market expansion efforts are going well and continue to be very well received by current and potential customers, and we are actively pursuing opportunities with various U.S. telecom and cable MSOs. During the second quarter, we booked approximately $150 million of new project awards in North America, the majority of which were in the United States. We are in discussions with providers across North America and in certain countries in Latin America for projects worth several hundred million dollars in the aggregate, which if we are successful in signing, would be performed over the next few years. Additionally, during the second quarter, we completed the strategic acquisition of an established communications contractor that serves the Southeast and other regions of the United States with strong customer relationships. Now, as a part of Quanta, we are growing the business and have strong support from its key customers. We remain focused on organically growing our communication services office. However, we will evaluate select acquisitions that bring strategic value to Quanta and allow us to provide differentiated solutions and that can accelerate our expansion efforts. In summary, we remain on track to achieve our full-year outlook, continue to have a positive multi-year view of the end markets we serve, and believe we are entering a renewed multi-year upcycle for our electric power, oil and gas, and communications infrastructure services operations. We are confident that Quanta is well positioned to provide unique solutions to our customers and capitalize on favorable end market trends. Our small and medium-sized base business work continues to grow nicely, and we are seeing larger electric transmission and pipeline projects move forward, as evidenced by the Windcatcher tie line and Line 3 replacement program projects. We are making progress with our U.S. communication services expansion efforts and see meaningful growth opportunities for our operations in North America and Latin America. We are focused on operating the business for the long term and continue to distinguish ourselves through safe execution and best-in-class field leadership. We will pursue opportunities to enhance Quanta's core business and leadership position in the industry and provide innovative solutions to our customers. We believe Quanta's unique operating model and entrepreneurial mindset will continue to provide us the foundation to generate long-term value for all stakeholders. With that, I will now turn the call over to Derek Jensen, our CFO, for his review of our second quarter results. Derek?
Thanks, Duke, and good morning, everyone. Today, we announced record second quarter revenues of $2.2 billion. Net income attributable to common stock was $63.8 million, or 41 cents per diluted share, compared to net income attributable to common stock of $16.6 million, or 11 cents per diluted share in the second quarter of 2016. Adjusted diluted earnings per share, a non-GAAP measure, was 50 cents for the second quarter of 2017 compared to 18 cents for the second quarter of 2016. Consolidated revenues increased almost 23% when compared to the second quarter of last year. This overall increase was primarily associated with increased capital spending by our oil and gas pipeline customers on larger pipeline transmission projects and increased capital spending by our electric customers on multiple types of services and project sizes. Our consolidated gross margin was 13.7% as compared to 11.2% in the second quarter of 2016. This increase was driven by improved margins in both segments, which I'll discuss later in my prepared remarks. Selling, general, and administrative expenses were $185.9 million in the second quarter of 2017, or 8.4% of revenues, as compared to $156.6 million, or 8.7% of revenues in last year's second quarter. The increase in SG&A was primarily due to higher compensation costs, largely associated with higher incentive compensation based on current levels of profitability, as well as annual compensation increases and increased personnel to support business growth. Also contributing to the increase was $5.1 million in incremental G&A expenses associated with acquired businesses, which included a $3.8 million increase in acquisition and integration costs. We also made a $2.4 million charitable contribution during the quarter. This contribution was an initial grant to help form a not-profit line school and to fund its operations for the remainder of 2017. We anticipate making future annual contributions starting in 2018, which, with the school now established, we would expect to include in our future annual guidance. To further discuss our segment results, electric power revenues increased 12.2% to $1.3 billion when compared to last year's second quarter. This increase was primarily due to higher customer spending in both our recurring type revenues of distribution and smaller electric transmission projects, as well as a higher contribution associated with larger electric transmission projects, as more of these larger projects were in construction during the second quarter of this year. In addition, we had approximately $15 million in revenues from acquired businesses and $8.1 million in additional emergency restoration services revenues. These increases were partially offset by a decrease in power plant-related revenues due primarily to a lower volume of renewable power plant projects and a completion of a power plant project in Alaska during 2016. Operating margin in the electric power segment increased to 8.7% in the second quarter of 2017 as compared to 6.6% in last year's second quarter. This increase largely resulted from $30.5 million of project losses related to a power plant project in Alaska that were recognized in the second quarter of 2016, which negatively impacted margins in last year's quarter by approximately 260 basis points. Partially offsetting this increase in the quarter were slightly lower margins associated with our distribution services as we ramp on certain training and development costs for upcoming work, as well as variations in segment margins due to typical seasonality and the timing of project start dates and completions. As of June 30, 2017, 12-month backlog for the electric power segment was $3.6 billion, which is an increase of 1.6% when compared to March 31, 2017, while total backlog remained relatively constant despite record second quarter revenues for the segment. As compared to the second quarter of 2016, total backlog for the segment increased 6.5%. Oil and gas segment revenues increased 42% quarter over quarter to $899.6 million in 2Q17. This increase was primarily due to increased capital spending by our customers on larger pipeline transmission projects. The increase in revenues from larger pipeline projects also drove the operating margin to 7.5% in 2Q17 from 1.9% in 2Q16, as these larger projects typically have a higher margin profile due to the associated risks. Additionally, the overall higher revenues in the segment allowed for better coverage of fixed and overhead costs. As of June 30, 2017, 12-month backlog for the oil and gas segment was $1.7 billion, and total backlog for the segment was $2.4 billion, both representing slight decreases compared to March 31, 2017 and year-end 2016. These decreases are primarily due to burn of larger pipeline projects that moved into full construction. Our second quarter backlog does not reflect the July award of Line 3, and as Duke commented in his prepared remarks, we have been in active discussions on a number of pipeline projects, which gives us confidence in future backlog materializing. Corporate and non-allocated costs increased $18.6 million in the second quarter of 2017 as compared to 2Q16 due to $12 million of higher compensation costs, largely associated with higher incentive and non-cash stock compensation expense based on current levels of profitability, $3.8 million in higher acquisition and integration costs, and the $2.4 million charitable contribution to the nonprofit Lions School. For the second quarter of 2017, cash flows provided by operating activities of continuing operations were approximately $8.7 million, and net capital expenditures were approximately $54.5 million, resulting in $45.8 million of negative free cash flow. This compares to free cash flow of $12.1 million for the second quarter of 2016. Free cash flow for the second quarter of 2017 was negatively impacted by increased working capital requirements related to the increase in number and size of oil and gas infrastructure projects, and to a lesser extent, electric power infrastructure projects, partially offset by more favorable operating results. Regarding the two electric transmission projects in remote regions of northeastern Canada, where we have had previous billing delays, as anticipated, we reached a resolution on all of the outstanding issues. The amended contract eliminates the previous scheduling and billing issues and establishes new processes which eliminated the access and delay items mentioned in previous earnings calls. After reaching this agreement, our net receivable position decreased as of June 30, 2017, and we have received additional payments subsequent to the quarter end of $79.5 million. Total cash received from this customer during the second quarter of 2017 and through the end of July was approximately $277 million, and the project is scheduled to be completed by year end, with no further receivable or billing issues anticipated. DSOs increased to 80 days at June 30, 2017, compared to 74 days at December 31, 2016, and 74 days at the end of last year's second quarter. This increase was primarily due to more favorable billing terms for certain projects ongoing in 2016 as compared to projects ongoing in 2017. At June 30, 2017, we had $99.6 million in cash. We had $324.7 million in letters of credit and bank guarantees outstanding, and we had $480.7 million of borrowings outstanding under our credit facility, leaving us with $1.1 billion in total liquidity as of June 30, 2017. Subsequent to the quarter, we closed the Stronghold acquisition and increased borrowings on our credit facility by an additional $360 million related to the cash consideration for the acquisition. Considering our expected performance for the rest of the year and our typically stronger back half of the year free cash flow, we believe we will see our end-of-year leverage profile within our preferred 1 to 1.5 times EBITDA range. We believe this leverage profile allows us to continue to be opportunistic with deployment of future capital. In May of this year, we announced that our board of directors had approved a $300 million stock repurchase program. The authorization covers a 3-year period, and we anticipate utilizing the repurchase program opportunistically, as well as to potentially offset dilution from stock issued to fund acquisitions or under our equity compensation programs. To date, we have made no repurchases under this authorization. Turning to guidance, we are increasing our full year 2017 revenue expectation to range between $8.65 billion and $9.05 billion. Our range of guidance contemplates the potential for project delays and cancellations. Fourth quarter revenues are still expected to decline compared to the third quarter of 2017. Based on our full year revenue expectation, we expect double-digit growth percentages in electric power in 2017 over 2016, and including the results of Stronghold, we expect oil and gas revenue to increase around 20% to 30% over 2016. We continue to see operating margins for electric power in the 9 to 9.5% range for 2017 and oil and gas segment operating margins, in part reflecting the margin accretion from Stronghold, to now be between 5.5% and 6% for 2017. Due in part to the increased borrowings for Stronghold, we anticipate interest expense for the year to be approximately $17 to $18 million. Also, the Fort McMurray West Transmission Project began construction in the third quarter. As such, we can now more accurately anticipate the construction offset associated with our investment in the project, which will be recorded as other expense below operating income. Our forecast for the year for other expense is now approximately $7 to $9 million. Non-controlling interest deductions have also increased slightly and should be between $1.5 and $2.5 million for the year. We anticipate GAAP diluted earnings per share for the year to be between $1.57 and $1.75, anticipate non-GAAP adjusted diluted earnings per share to be between $1.92 and $2.10. Included in our outlook is the expectation that for the remainder of 2017, the acquisition of Stronghold is expected to generate approximately $240 million to $260 million of revenues and approximately $6 million to $7.5 million of net income attributable to common stock. The acquisition is expected to be accretive to Quanta's GAAP diluted earnings per share attributable to common stock by 2 to 3 cents and non-GAAP adjusted diluted earnings per share attributable to common stock by 6 to 7 cents for the remainder of the year. Our forecasted non-GAAP measures are estimated on a basis similar to the calculations of historical adjusted diluted earnings per share presented in our release. Our full year 2017 guidance reflects foreign exchange rates comparable to the first 6 months of 2017. Although Canadian and Australian rates have strengthened against the U.S. dollar a bit in the last few weeks, we have not considered this increase in our updated annual guidance. Fluctuations of foreign exchange rates could make comparisons to prior periods difficult and could cause actual financial results to differ from guidance. Shortly after this conference call, we will post a summary of our guidance expectations in the Investors and Media section of our website. We are committed to maintaining our strong balance sheet and financial flexibility, which positions the company for continued growth and the ability to execute on strategic initiatives. Overall, our capital priorities remain the same, with a focus on ensuring adequate resources for working capital, capital expenditures, and organic growth. We continue to see acquisitions as a fundamental component of our strategy, and with the formation of First Infrastructure Capital earlier this year, we also see continued, if not incremental, opportunities for investments supporting our customers and the development of incremental backlog for Quanta. While our stock repurchase authorization offers us the additional option to return to stockholders, we will continue to take an opportunistic approach among all components of our capital allocation. This concludes our formal presentation, and we will now open the line for Q&A. Operator?
Thank you, sir. At this time, we'll be conducting a question and answer session. If you would like to ask a question, please press star 1 on your telephone keypad. A confirmation tone will indicate your line is in the question queue. We ask that you limit your questions to one with a single follow-up so that others may have the opportunity to ask questions. You may re-enter the queue by pressing star 1. At any time, if you wish to remove your question from the queue, please press star 2. For participants using speaker equipment, it may be necessary to pick up your handset before pressing the star keys. One moment, please, while we pull for questions. The first question today comes from Matt Duncan of Stephens Inc. Please go ahead.
Hey, good morning, guys.
Morning.
First question I've got, Duke, you talked about this a little bit in your prepared comments is regarding the lack of a quorum at FERC, and it sounds like you still feel pretty darn good about the outlook for 2018 and 19, pretty on par with your comments from the analyst meeting back in early April. At what point would the lack of a quorum at FERC become a problem potentially for revenues and profits in 2018? When do you think you need to see that by for everything to stay on track timing-wise into 18?
Yeah, good question. From our standpoint, what we're hearing from our customers and how we're looking at schedules, you know, we believe that everything that we're hearing, that there'll be a quorum, number one. I think yesterday or day before yesterday, some of them moved through committee. So that's a good thing and a good sign. You know, we're not here to predict when that's going to happen. D.C.'s been every day something new. So we don't know, but our customers are optimistic, and so are we. As far as when we need to get it, it depends on the regulations and what area you're in and how much they relax those as well. What we're hearing is good things about some of the relaxing some of the regulations on us as far as clearing and things of that nature will ease the construction, and so, you know, you could get later in the year. But as we see it right now, we're optimistic that the quorum will happen and we'll get approvals on some of these larger projects.
Okay. And the second question on Stronghold, actually, not long after you guys announced that deal, there was another public industrial services company that pre-announced a pretty messy second quarter. So Can you help give people a little bit of peace of mind here on sort of how your business, how that business, I guess, has held up better than other industrial services companies? What is it that makes it a more sticky business that you, you know, that's been able to grow, that you think you can continue growing? And then maybe talk a little bit more about what some of the cross-selling opportunities are that you see there and the revenue opportunity associated with those markets.
Yeah. So in general, the industrial service business, we've been in it a long time, and we perform very well on our high voltage side down. So we understand the market, and we understood the others that have, you know, came out with announcements and where they were at as well when we made this acquisition. We fully understand. So that being said, what we do is we're a critical path on both sides of that. It's necessary. Our services are necessary in any turnaround and also in any cost structure that you would have in a turnaround. So if you wanted to expedite a turnaround, we believe that what we do is critical, from our handling capabilities on the catalyst side to our high voltage side as well. So those two things are extremely important, as well as all your ancillary services around that. That being said, the company that we bought has, you know, a five-year track record plus double-digit growth, as well as a margin profile that's industry-leading. We're confident in our guidance and what we bought. We're happier today, or as happy today as we were when we purchased the company, and believe the company itself fits in well, and everything that we've seen has been, you know, great, you know, as far as the management team, and we're extremely happy and they fit in well as far as that goes. As far as cross-selling, we've been able to cross-sell already and had good client conversations about how the two put together, and, you know, we can do unique things on the turnaround side.
The next question is from Tariah Asfaw of KeyBanc Capital Markets. Please go ahead.
Hi, guys, and congrats on a decent quarter.
Thanks, Tariah.
I guess first question, you know, if you look at your comments in the past, Duke, about record backlog this year, would those still hold if you don't book Windcatcher in the third quarter, or, you know, did that project just come out of the blue in terms of timing of booking?
My comments were pre-Windcatcher. And also, got it. I also want to reiterate on the quarter, I think we had an exceptional quarter. We're right on track. We think that from what we see, the markets and also our guidance is intact, and we're firming as well as, you know, increasing as far as I'm concerned.
Got it, and I agree based on what I saw today. And I guess the second question, Duke, you know, we track these transmission projects pretty closely. It seemed like this one popped out, at least for us, out of nowhere, a week before you announced it. Have you seen some of the regulated utilities that have been a little more slow in terms of announcing larger projects come back on the map?
Yeah, Tara, I think, you know, we've been consistent in talking about our base business, which is particularly about 85% of what we do on any given day is our base business. We're, you know, the larger projects are a small piece, 15% of the business, so we're around the edges on them all. We talk to our customers all the time. We're involved in many, many projects, some as big as Windcatcher, some not. But in general, we understand the markets. We understand the end markets, and then we're able to get in front of that and provide solutions. We've said all along we need to be solution-based. We need to be able to program manage. We got out in front of some engineering capabilities, and, you know, it's consistent with what we've said for the previous years and where we're going with the company as far as the solution-based. And our relationships with the clients and our execution capabilities are exceptional. Our guys in the field, just exceptional.
The next question is from Jamie Cook of Credit Suisse. Please go ahead.
Hi, good morning. A nice quarter in bookings. I guess two questions. You know, one, Duke, longer term, or Derek, you guys put out, you know, at your analyst meeting, your medium-term targets of the $10 billion in revenues. You know, with the Windcatcher project in line three, just sort of how you're thinking about the timeline associated with the $10 billion, does that get pulled forward to some degree? Maybe it's a three-year versus five-year, and confidence that margins will come through given some of these bookings. And then I guess just the second question, I was pleasantly surprised by the bookings on the communication side. So can you just talk about the momentum you're seeing there and whether there's any you know, upside to the implied revenue guide for communications in 17. Thanks.
Yeah, Jamie, I think in general what we'd say, let me go backwards, on the communication side is we kind of commented on the 150 to 200 million. We think we're in the, you know, upside of that to 200 million as we sit today. We're proud of where we stand there and what we've been able to do so far. Primarily was organic growth there, almost holistically organic growth. So we're happy with where we sit as far as the communications go. I'll comment a little bit and turn it over to Derek on what we said from a comment. You know, when we gave the commentary on the 10 billion and what we said we could see it. We never gave a time frame. We stand by that. We can see it, and so we see it. It's attainable. We wouldn't say it if we couldn't see it. And I'll leave it there. I'll turn it to Derek on the numbers.
Yeah. Well, I mean, inherently, I mean, our original discussion of that was excluding acquisitions, and so the Stronghold acquisition alone gives us a $500 million uptick to that number. And so, based upon the guidance that you're seeing here for 2017, which is only inclusive of partial year Stronghold, I think that you would say, you know, although we're not in the spot of giving that multi-year guidance yet, that you would see a number that would be really much more sooner time frame.
And sorry, you just didn't. The one thing you didn't answer, and Derek, I'll give this question to you because we've been going back and forth on this for a couple years. Given the bookings that we're seeing, can we get confident that at least by 18 we're back in our targeted range for electric transmission and to some degree oil and gas?
Yeah, I think that, you know, quite honestly, when you look at our annual guidance of 9 to 9.5% for electric power, for us to get into that type of range, you're going to have to see a stronger performance in the back half of the year, and that stronger performance is going to be at or near that double-digit margin. I'll reiterate that over the last couple of years I've spoken about, and it's the same thing for 2017, that electric power, excluding Canada, is operating at the double-digit margin range as it stands here for 2017 as a year, as well as even the second quarter. It was very near or at the double-digit margins, excluding Canada. And so the headwinds of Canada has put some pressure. As we look at the back half of the year, it is some of the improvements in Canada because of the moving on to some of the larger transmission projects that are also helping to contribute to the higher margin profile for that back half of the year. So on an ongoing basis, we think that that still bodes well for us feeling comfortable with those double-digit margins in electric power.
The next question is from Noelle Diltz of Stifel. Please go ahead.
Hi, guys. Good morning. It was nice to see the Enbridge Line 3 win in Canada. It looks like you got about, you know, 25% of that Canadian mileage. So looking at that job, it looks like there's, you know, the two spreads scheduled to begin this year, six spreads scheduled to begin in 2018. So my question there is there any additional opportunity associated with those six spreads? And then how are you thinking about the U.S. portion? And then, of course, any, you know, assistance you can give us to help us size that opportunity would also, the portion you've won and then potential opportunity would also be great.
Thanks, Noah. I think in general that we basically, working with Enbridge on the rest of the project, we bid some of it in Canada. There's another portion that will come out later that we'll, you know, bid as well. They're a great client. We continue to work with them in a collaborative effort across both Canada and the lower 48. I don't want to get into a bunch of comments on where we're at on specific projects for competitive reasons, but in general, great client, and we look forward to working with them on this piece of work.
Okay, great. And then can you just give us a little bit more color on the telecom acquisition, sort of what this brings to you from a strategic standpoint, maybe key customer relationships that maybe come in with this, how you think it could grow, and then, you know, are you looking to do additional kind of smaller bolt-on telecom deals?
Yeah, no, it was a small acquisition that brought actually no backlog to us in the Southeast, but great client relationships and such. So we were able to leverage their client relationships across a broad spectrum and add our solution capabilities and some of the people that we had already, and, you know, pull them out of Canada and such, and then really boost our telecom operations and get a kick start in the Southeast. If we're able to do that in multiple areas, we'd do it. But it was a very small acquisition. I do not think we have a kind of a program as such as far as an acquisition profile and, you know, in any way, shape, or form going forward. We said we'd organically grow, and I think that's the intent. But we're not going to pass up good opportunities.
The next question is from Alan Fleming of Citi. Please go ahead.
Hi, guys. Good morning. Duke or Derek, you're averaging around 6% oil and gas margin through the first half of the year versus closer to 1.5% in the first half of 16. And then last year you did 5%. So we know you want to keep expectations manageable for particularly the fourth quarter, and you did raise the bottom end of the guidance there to 5.5 to 6. But given kind of the confidence that you have in bookings and line three coming in, I mean, you know, is maybe the low end, at least the low end, looking a little conservative now?
No, I mean, I think that our primary concern is the timing of the projects themselves. I mean, when you think about it, any of the projects in oil and gas specifically can be moved, whether it be the third quarter or fourth quarter, the timing of when the weather aspect and whether you are able to accelerate based upon the winter weather or not. So we're pretty cautious about that. And at the same time, I would still say that we still see a reasonably marked downturn between the third quarter and the fourth quarter, because of the timing of when we're working on some of the larger transmission projects. So you're right that, you know, we had pretty strong margins in the segment in the second quarter, but I think as we go forward here in the third and the fourth, you should expect some level of margin pressure in the fourth, and a big portion of that is us being cautious about how the winter builds into playing out.
Yeah, a little bit of commentary as well. When you compare it to our 4Q of 16, we're on multiple large spreads in the south, and so that's not in our backlog as we see it today. So that's part of our comparable issue as well.
Okay, that's helpful. Derek, maybe you can talk a little more about how you're thinking about cash flow in the second half of the year. DSO is around 80 days this quarter. I mean, what's your confidence in being able to get those down in the back half? And do you think you a little bit more focus on working capital can help even as, you know, some of these larger projects start to ramp like Fort McMurray and Line 3?
Yeah, I mean, I think that in my prepared remarks, I commented that we're typically in the back half of the year, we're a stronger free cash flow company, and I think that'll be very much the case here still for 2017. At this stage, I would tell you that I expect free cash flow to be stronger than it was last year. Previously, we had been forecasting that the Canadian work would have some delays in that, but obviously we've reached a substantial improvement of that here in the second quarter. That's going to contribute to the third and fourth quarter free cash flow. I feel pretty comfortable that we'll have a pretty strong end of the year in that regard.
The next question is from Chad Dillard of Deutsche Bank. Please go ahead.
Hi, good morning. So you mentioned that there is an investment in the distribution that caused margin pressure in the transmission during QQ. Can you just talk a little bit more about this? Could you quantify how much pressure there was? And is it only a 2Q event, or do you expect that pressure to continue over the next couple of months? And then also, just moving over to oil and gas, were there any closeouts for that segment in 2Q? If not, were there any baked in the second half of this year?
Yeah, I'll take the electric side of it. In general, I think what we saw in the quarter, we added 500 or so people. We've added 1,500 as we look at the year so far, just without the acquisition. So when you're doing that in the distribution business especially, it does create some inefficiencies. It was what we see in baseload work and how we're ramping on that certainly caused some unique issues, as well as, you know, we are ramping on our telecom business, and so in the segment it caused some unique variables, and I think that's not what you see going forward. When you look at this business as we do and give guidance over a period of time, our ability with utilizations and such, that just goes away. But yeah, it was a unique kind of quarter where you saw some pressure. It was not that much, and as Derek said, we were still in double digits in the lower 48, but we thought we should, you know, at least comment to it.
Relative to gas, I mean, we did execute two contingencies on a couple of our large diameter projects. That's, you know, we bake contingencies into these projects to deal with the risks inherent with them. But as we came through the second quarter, we were able to execute through and manage those contingencies so such that as some of those jobs neared completion, you saw that fall to the bottom as expanded margin.
That's helpful. And then just moving over to Canada, can you just talk a little bit about the bidding environment on the transmission side, how that's changed in the last 3 to 4 months, and I mean whether you're seeing any recovery or have conditions soften in that market?
Yeah, in general in Canada, on the electric side, what you see on the, you know, the larger side, larger transmission side, we still see opportunities there. We've been disciplined about how we bid this work. We're starting, you know, west of Fort McMurray now in the field, and you know, we're happy with where we sit there. We'll continue to be disciplined up there. We know our cost. We know where we're at. We see it strengthening from, you know, large project standpoint with Nalcor, as well as us starting west Fort McMurray, and even when we come off Nalcor, we feel comfortable that we'll start to see that market strengthen due to those projects, as well as some of the base business coming back on your eastern side of Canada as well as in your western side of Canada. But in general, the overall economy is depressed due to the, you know, the energy markets. You know, we announced Line 3 today. That'll help on the gas pipeline side, so we are seeing opportunities there as well. But more importantly, I think our discipline on large projects and how we price work has stayed steadfast, and we don't have any projects that we are off the rails or any issues, which, you know, I think says a lot about our execution capabilities as well as our bidding discipline as we move forward.
The next question is from Steven Fisher of UBS. Please go ahead.
Hey, good morning, guys. This is Cleve on for Steve. Duke, jumping back to the conversation about the FERC, once a quorum is established, how quickly do you think pipeline projects could actually move forward? I mean, are they pretty much staged and ready to go, or is there additional siting and state regulatory requirements that need to be finalized?
Yeah, I mean, I think in general the process within the you know, FERC has moved forward. The work underneath is ongoing. Right-of-ways and things like that are getting bought. Easements, all the necessary things within the state levels are getting done. We're optimistic on the ones that we're looking at or working or collaborating with our customers that we're moving forward. And, you know, as we stated before, 2018, 2019, we believe will be a robust environment. And so when we see that, you know, again, it's mainly just waiting on the FERC quorum and final approvals, in my mind, to see us into 2018 and 2019.
Okay. And then, you know, I just had a question on the EPC power projects. When you guys book that work, how does, and I guess execute on, how does Quanta's risk profile change? Is there any more or less fixed price risk on this type of work, or is it really just more of an opportunity to expand into different areas of the project?
Yeah, we've performed EPC work for 50 years, primarily on the transmission side of the business, substations. So we're very familiar with EPC and the risk profile. I'm confident in our capabilities internally to perform that work on linear construction. You know, again, we had the power plant that was a problem, but that was something completely different, something that you know, we've stated that we're not in today. So that being said, we do understand a risk profile, having had a bad project on something that we didn't understand as well. So I think in general, what you see and what you see in our backlog and our ability to perform EPC on the electric side or the gas side, we do it very well, and we're excited about the opportunities.
Thanks a lot, guys.
The next question is from Alex Riegel of FBR & Company. Please go ahead.
Thank you. A nice quarter.
Thank you.
Duke, can you talk a little bit about the mix shift in your electrical business, particularly as it relates to increasing level of EPC work, and how we should think about its effect on margin over the next 2 years?
Yeah, Alex, we've looked at that. I think in general, what we can stay in our historical margins with the mix of EPC that we have today. If that changes, we'll come out and say so. But what we see today, we're very comfortable, and I'll let Derek comment on some of that. But in my mind, I'm happy with where we're at, and I think we can stay in the historical margins. You know, we're not there yet, but I believe we'll be there, and even with EPC. But I'll let Derek comment.
Yeah, the only thing being is that if materials is a larger component of the overall contract, in some circumstances you see pressure on margins. But to Duke's point, to the extent that we have contracts where material component is larger and diluting the margins, it would be our intention to somehow kind of bifurcate so people are able to see what's happening from the construction side versus the material side. But we'll have to just address that as the level and mix of those contracts come forward.
And I believe your revenue contribution from Canadian operations last year was around 20% of total company revenue. How should we think about that number changing over the next couple of years, and what kind of implications are there towards that change?
That's probably right. It's in that 20% range on a go-forward basis. You know, we'll have to look at how, as an example, Stronghold and the light comes in. I think for right now, though, between the markets that we see in the opportunities, whether it be in oil and gas or electric power, you know, I think still yet holding something in that 15 to 20% range for now is likely a good number. We see double-digit type growth opportunities in the Canadian market as much as we do in electric power. So right now, I think I'd still probably anticipate some sort of similar percentage.
The next question is from Andrew Whitman of Robert W. Baird. Please go ahead.
Great, thanks. I guess my first question is on the pipeline side of the business, and you guys always have a pretty good sense about when on projects that your customers want to move on relatively urgently when you've got the awards. And so I guess I was just hoping you could give us a sense of the quantity of work that's pent up at the FERC that you know that once they do rule on it, you'll be ready to get to work in short order.
Yeah, and you know, I think we've consistently commented on this, that we believe we'll be booked in 2018 and 2019 in the lower 48. We stand by those comments.
But can you give a dollar amount to it, I guess, is my question.
I just did. We're going to stand by our books. We believe we have a robust environment. It's difficult for us to comment on, you know, what that is going to look like in certainty in 2018 and 2019. We're not going to give multi-year kind of quantification on it other than to say it's a robust environment and there are spreads that we believe will be booked in 2018 and 2019.
The next question is from Brent Thielman of D.A. Davidson. Please go ahead.
Hey, thank you. Good morning. On communications, is that running, or I guess with the new work you've picked up and are looking at here going forward, any reason to believe that could potentially be accretive to electrical segment margins as that ramps up?
Yeah, I mean, again, as you start to see utilizations go up and project mix go up, when you see bigger projects and big transmissions start to move back in, as we've said before, you know, the margin profile and that, the risk profile and margin profile, we believe we can execute through, certainly drives your margins up. But again, our baseload work and what's going on there as well, it's not necessary, but it should enhance margins.
Yeah, okay. And then, Duke, what is something like wind catcher moving forward due to the market? Can something as large as that be a catalyst to get other utilities moving a little faster on those programs, or at least look to secure contractors like yourself?
Yeah, I mean, I think as far as we see it, the labor environment and the amount of labor and qualified supervision that's in the market out there today, we talked about in the past that we've been a little heavy in supervision in certain areas a year ago or a year and a half ago because we saw some of this coming. And we're in a really good spot from a labor standpoint as well as working with our line programs and things like that. You saw some costs roll through there. We've got in front of the build. We consistently talk to our customers about what's going on and pre-plan and get involved with them on a collaborative effort. And that being said, it allows us to look at things like Windcatcher and multitude of projects, both on the merchant side and with our customers, that most of over 50 years with us. So we stay involved with them, and I think we're in a good spot, and we really like the market going forward, as I've said before.
The next question is from Noelle Diltz of Stiefel. Please go ahead.
Hi, guys. Just a couple of quick follow-ups. So first, given what we're hearing from some of your peers about weather impacts in the quarter, I was curious if, one, you know, weather was meaningfully detrimental at all in the quarter, and also if you had any meaningful storm work. And then second, I was wondering if you could give us just an update of what your mainline spread utilization was in the quarter.
Yeah, no, I think in general, from a weather standpoint, you know, we've been kind of a weather pattern in our work, and certainly there was probably something across the Northeast, I believe, was pretty wet. We looked at the weather patterns, have historicals, and we worked through it. And basically, some of our design is that we're in west, east, wherever it's at, and we were able to execute through any kind of weather issues. I'll let Derek comment on the storm.
Yeah, I mean, we had kind of a typical quarter. We had about $25 to $30 million worth of storm work this quarter.
And I think if you look at the business from a mainline and base work and this and that, again, about 75 to 80% of gas pipe is base load work, not mainline. So,
right.
Magnitude.
Okay.
There are no additional questions at this time. I'll turn the call back over to management for closing remarks.
Yeah, I'd like to thank you for participating in our quarter in 2017 conference call. I'd also like to thank the 32,000 plus employees in the field for safely executing through the quarter. We appreciate you, and thanks for your interest in Quanta Services. This concludes our call.
This concludes today's conference. You may disconnect your lines at this time. Thank you for your participation.